Chelik Rishon Perek Memtes. Yeah. So he's like this. Gama Malachim Einam Bale Guf. Okay, so Gam meaning what? So Malachim also are not Bale Guf. They don't have physical element. Elim Scholim Nivolim Nivdolim Mechoma. They are Seichel Nivdal Mechoma. An intellect separated from substance. Okay. And Kafach has, he says, this is also mentioned in Yesod HaTorah. Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel through Dal. Mehem Beruim Tzura below Golam. Right. A Tzura, a form, or an essence, without a substance. Those are the Malachim. He says in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, HaMalachim Einam Guf Ugvia Ela Tzuros Nifrados Zu Mizu. Yeah. And therefore, he says over there, when the Nevi'im said they saw Malach, that's all Amar Nevuah. Okay. So here he says, they are Seichalim Nivdolim Echomer. It's like, I think Ram refers to Moshe as it's almost like a Seichal Nifrad. Olheim Pa'ulim. Oh, yeah, I think we saw this, right? I think we did see this last time. Vashem Boram Kmoshi is Bor. So they are Pa'ulim. What's the translation of that? They are no, Pa'ul. They were acted upon, right? No, as they are created. They're non physical, but they are Pa'ulim. They're the objects, they are the they have been acted upon. A Po'el is an actor. Pa'ul is that which was acted upon. He translates it, our intellect separated from matter, however, they are the objects of an act, and God has created them, as will be explained. Okay. So in other words, that's because people get very confused about that. Once you say the malachim are not physical, then they get confused about the difference between the malach and God. But he says very clearly, they are the objects of an act. They are created. So it's not like they are non-physical, intrinsic existence. Okay. He says, in Bereishis Rabba, Oma Omru Lahat HaCherev HaMisapeches Al Shem Mishorsov Eish Lohet HaMisapeches Shehem. So it's talking about, he says that's a reference to the Malachim. Okay. It is the lahat acher from Mr. Perkins. So he says it means like this. The flaming sword which turns every way is called thus with reference to the verse, his ministers of flaming fire. So that's what Bereishis Rabba. It's relating those two expressions. Lahat acher from Mr. Perkins is Mishorsav Eish Lohate. Okay. Which is a reference to Malachim, his ministers of flaming fire. The expression which turns every way, what does it mean? It's a mishapeches, alludes to the fact that sometimes they turn into men, sometimes into women, sometimes into spirits, and sometimes into angels.
That's they. The angels? The sword.
Through this dictum, they have made it clear that the angels are not endowed with matter, and that outside the mind they have no fixed corporeal shape, but that all such shapes are only to be perceived in the vision of prophecy in consequence of the action of the imaginative capacity, as will be mentioned in connection with the notion of the true reality of prophecy. As for their dictum, sometimes into women, which implies that the prophets likewise sometimes see the angel in the vision of prophecy in the form of women, it refers to the dictum of Zechariah, peace be upon him, and behold, there came forth two women, and the wind was in their wings, and so on. Okay. What does it mean sometimes into angels? The Rambam says, Hine, kevar b'yarnu b'zem maimar, shem enam bali chomer, v'en lehem techuna kayemes gashmis. They are not physical beings, and they don't have any fixed physical characteristics. chutz la seichel. Meaning to say, what does it mean, chutz la seichel? Oval hakol b'mara nevua. In other words, outside of a person's mind, outside of the person's imagination, there's nothing physical. But in the Mara Nevua, everything is Mara Nevua, and the Koach HaMadame will conjure different images. And then he goes through the images mentioned in this Medrash and says there is a Navi that has a Mara Nevua of a Malach in the Surah of Nashim. Okay, fine. So now he's like this. Kvar yodata ki asogas hanoki min hachomer. You already know, okay, that comprehending something that is free of any substance, okay. Ha'orum min agashmus legamri, completely stripped of gashmius, kaveda ma'od al ha'odam. It's very, very difficult. You know this. Everybody here knows this. You already know this. That to understand and have a true idea of an existence that is completely stripped of physicality is extremely difficult. Ela achar limud rav. It's only possible to achieve such a thing after a lot of study. Ubilvad lemishelo yavdil bein hamuskal vehameduma. Meaning what? Ubilvad lemishelo bertzlomer ubiyichazos haasaga kaved lemishelo yavdil. And certainly for someone who doesn't differentiate between his something that's intelligible and something that is imagined. And that type of person will be practically impossible, right? Particularly difficult for one who does not differentiate between that which is cognized by the intellect and that which is imagined, and who tends mostly towards imaginative apprehension alone. So certainly, if the main way that you don't differentiate between intellectual cognition and imaginative cognition, it's going to be practically impossible. I mean, I think it will actually be impossible to have an idea of an existence of an intellect free of substance, because your imagination is always going to be in the realm of the visual, some kind of thing like that. Okay. And the yeah, the rav hishanu al hasogas hadimyon levad. Most people rely on that. When most people think about something, they're relying on imagining it. Can I imagine it? Okay, hold on. The yeah kol haMeduma etzlo nimtza. And now it's interesting. He's saying a person who thinks with his imagination is actually making a certain assumption that anything that he can imagine is possible. O efshar hamtzia. In other words, it goes by his imagination. If he can imagine, it's possible. If he can't imagine, it's impossible.
What exactly does imagination mean here? Like, he seems to be using an imagination in a visual context.
That's what imagination... Well, imagination, the koach hamedame, takes sensory experiences from the past and puts them together in new ways. That's what the Koach HaMadame does. So if nothing was experienced physically in some sensory way, it doesn't exist in the database of the imagination from which the faculty can put together different parts. So you can have a purple elephant. Have you ever seen a purple elephant? Never. But I've seen elephants, I've seen purple. I can order one up in my imagination. Right? I'm just saying, someone who doesn't think beyond his imagination, it's interesting. He's saying that that person has the sense, at least deep down, he has this belief that the imagination is the faculty that corresponds to reality. That's what he's doing when he's thinking with his imagination. That's basically what he's doing. If a person only thinks with his imagination, so basically it's a statement of thinking is a way of determining reality. What exists outside of your mind? We have a process that we do in our mind, and when we say it's true, it means to say we believe that it corresponds to the existence outside of our mind. If a person only uses his imagination, then he's basically saying that that is the tool that corresponds to reality. And therefore, that which he can imagine should exist or does exist. Hard to say it does exist, but certainly that which he can't imagine does not exist. Because of the difficulty of this matter, the books of the prophets likewise contain statements whose external sense can be understood as signifying that the angels are physical, that they move, that they are in form of men, they are given orders by God, and they carry out his orders and do what he wishes in virtue of his orders. All this is said as to guide the mind to a knowledge of their existence and of their being alive and perfect, as we have explained with regard to God. That's a very powerful statement. That's a very powerful statement.
What is only thinking with one's imagination?
In other words, it would be like people have a difficulty. I was just talking to somebody this morning about this. People have a difficulty, like, let's say, comprehending the speed of light. Right? Because you can't imagine something moving that fast. You just can't imagine it. Right? It's impossible. It's impossible in our imagination to... The only way we can imagine it is if we make the scale really large and then we can sort of watch it like an observer, like a regular motion. But we can't imagine motion. That's why for centuries nobody believed that people believed light was an instantaneous event. Because we don't have anything in our world that moves that fast that we can imagine something else moving that fast.
You're saying imagine always means...
So I believe the Rambam gives an example somewhere of two things coming closer and never touching. Like mathematically there's such a thing, but the imagination will never imagine it.
Asymptote.
Right, asymptote. You can't see it in the imagination. The imagination, you just keep... You just keep traveling down and showing that picture over and over again, but you can't grasp the totality of that reality. And you're going to think it should keep getting smaller. It should keep getting closer and closer and eventually touch. Your imagination would never tell you such a thing exists. Mathematically, you can prove it. Does it really exist? Well, but anyway, but. So he's saying over here, but let's focus on this point, because this is a very powerful statement. He's saying all the descriptions in the books of the Navi are just to bring home the point that they exist, right? But he's including a lot. He's including a lot in what he calls description. And does that mean that he does not hold that these things are actual? These are just tools to help guide your mind to the true idea? For instance, I understand when he talks about the physical form, right? But he's including also in this, what? He says, Vahim, he says, Ulekoved zeh, gam kein heviu, sifrei ha-nevua. Those, all of these descriptions in the Sefer Navi are only because of the difficulty of comprehending a non-physical existence. So what did they do to help you comprehend this? They brought in dvarim sheyireh mipshuteyem gashmus hamalochem vitznuoseyem. Therefore, in the Divrei Navi, they included words that on their face value imply physicality and motion. Because without physicality, there's no motion either. V'hayosam tsuras ha'adam. Now listen to this one. That part is pashut, right? But then he says, V'heyosam mitzuvim me'ashem. Is he saying that's also a marshal? That they are commanded from God? And they do his word. Is that also a marshal? V'osam masha yirtze b'mitzvah so, and they do what they wish in his mitzvah. Right? Like they have a certain latitude in how to execute the mitzvah.
But you read so now?
The osim masha yirtze b'mitzvah so. What do you have?
The osim is
utsono,
and it's
basa.
You do his will.
I see. Vehem osei divaro. I have two things. Vehem osei divaro. Right. Heyosam mitzuva me Hashem. Vehem osim divaro. Vosim ma sheyirtze. Mean what he wants. B'mitzvosav. You're right. Mean what he does. I'm sorry. You're right. I mean they execute his will. Okay. Good. Kol zeh, but he says all of this is lihiyashir haseichel el mitziusam. All of this is only to direct the mind to their existence, that they are chayim shleimim k'moshe biyarnu bechok hakel. Interesting.
Rebecca?
Yeah.
So it sounds like he's setting up like this. Image.
Ela shim yamur adam bohem al zeh dimyon. So in other words, there is a truth. The Navi is trying to convey a truth, and it's true. The truth is that they are existences. They do execute God's will, right? But the descriptions are not. The descriptions are put like Michael's saying into a certain relatable sense, but that image of a being at the ready, a physical being at the ready to go and swoop down, that's all just to bring to mind the idea of the reality. But I don't think he doesn't mean to say that there's no reality of them being commanded by God and executing his orders, right? Just the nature of the way that's portrayed is like a messenger boy, or like some kind of a servant who exists physically and executes the will of the master. But he says that's just imagery. But the reality, he says, however, if one would stop at this imagining with regard to the angels, their true reality and essence would be like the essence of God as it is conceived in the imagination of the multitude. Yeah, it's a very strong condemnation of the multitude. Right? A person would stop at this point, just with the description of the Navi, then their truth, their Hayisod Doma Mitosam V'Atzmam Etzem Hashem B'dimyon HaHamon. Shekain Shegam Kain Noma Bibore Dvarm Yira Pshutam. Right, it's because you have also by God statements made about whose external sense it appears that he is a living, mobile body having the form of a man. Therefore, the mind is guided toward a knowledge of the fact that the rank of the existence of the angels is below the rank of the deity through the mixture with their shape of something belonging to the shape of irrational animal. So that what is understood with regard to the existence of the Creator should be more perfect than what is understood with regard to, oh boy, just as man is more perfect than the irrational animal. So he's trying to say how people view this. He's trying to say how the Hamon views this. He says like this: Shegam ki nomer bebore dvarim yireh mipshutam shu guf chai misnoeya al tsuras odom. Right. The pshat of the psukim also conveys such a notion. V'hayoshir v'hayshir haseichel, but is trying to direct the mind, el hayos malas mitziusam limata mimalas haloka be'erko b'tziroseyem dovar mitziras balei chayim asher einam medabrim. So he's trying to explain what? That the imagery in the Navi of the Malachim is different than the imagery of God? To try to convey this notion that their existence is lower than God, right? Just like an animal's existence is lower than a human's existence. Okay. V'lo techuv lehem tzuras balei chayim she'einam medabrim b'shum panim ela haknafayim. Very interesting, Rambam. Notice, why is a malach portrayed as a man with wings? It's to try to convey some idea in the marshal that they are lower than the existence of God. Although God is a non-physical existence, and their non-physical existence right? The Navi is trying to convey through the imagery the idea of their existence, but he wants to convey that the idea of their existence is lower than God's existence. But they're both, even though they're both non-physical. So how does he do that? With using it in the realm of the marshal, he uses a lower order of existence. So to man, so we say that man is the, if we were going to rank Balei Chayim, so we would say Adam is the highest perfection of Baal Chai, and then the animals come under that. So if you want to use marshal to teach a person that there exists a non-physical entity lower than God, right? So you would say, by God we only ascribe human perfection, a marshal that we consider human perfection, right? Seeing, knowing, all those things. But by the malach, when you're using a marshal, we throw in a little animalistic attribute. Winged. Winged is not a step up, it's a step down.
That's interesting.
Right?
What about
hoofed? Hoofed too. He says, "V'lo techubar lem tzuras balei chayim she'ena medabrim b'shum ponim." We don't turn them into animals, right? We don't say that the Navi saw an animal come to him. Ela knafayim, ki lo yitzuyar ofos mibilti knafayim, k'mo shelo tzuyar halicha mibilti raglayim, ki elu akochos lo tzuyar mitziusam ela be'elu anosim behechrach. So he says, flying cannot be represented to oneself without wings, just as walking cannot be represented without legs. For the existence of these faculties cannot possibly be represented to oneself except insofar as they subsist in these substrata. I'm not sure what he's trying to get with that. What's that last point? Uvenivchara, he says, the motion of flying has been chosen in order to point to the angels being living beings, for it is the most perfect and the noblest of the motions of the irrational animals. And man believes it to be a great perfection, so that he even wishes to fly, in order that it might be easy for him to flee from all that harms him, and that he might betake himself swiftly to wherever agrees with him, even if it be far off. Accordingly, this motion is ascribed to the angels. Yeah, interesting. So he's saying it is considered something that a person desires, and it's considered like people have been wishing to fly, apparently, for millennia, and therefore that's what is attributed to that. It's like a perfection of the animals that's attributed to the malach. So it's not a demeaning thing, but it still conveys that substrata of being, lower than man.
Aren't those some unconscious?
He's saying it takes wings for two reasons. First of all, it wants to show that they are alive. Okay, because flying is motion. And because, he says, it can go, of yirav achar ya'alem v'yakav v'karav yachach yirchak v'zman mu'at. It moves very quickly. Okay. All right, hold on one second. Okay, let's continue. So he says like this. Now he says like this. That's one thing. That's the wings. And what was the second part? The ode. Oh, that we did the ode. Well, we did the ode, right? He said, the elu kulam in the ode. He says, ki ha'of yirev yachach ya'alem v'yikar v'achach yirchach v'zman mu'at. The elu kulam in yonim tzorech. So these are essential. When you're thinking, the proper idea of malach requires an idea of immediacy of action. But that we never attribute to God. Okay. The motion of flight. Liyosa tenuas balechayim bilti midaber, because that's the action of a of an animal that doesn't have intellect. Velotite ba'omrov a yirkav al kruv v'yo'of. Okay, that's a tough pasuk. He says, ki ha'kruv hu asher off. It's the kruv that flew, not God. He rode upon a cherub and it did fly. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. So he says, and did fly, that does not refer to God. It refers to the cherub, to the kruv. Ki ha'kruvim hu asher off. V'hakavona b'mashul ha'hu, mehirus boha inahi. That just means the thing is going to happen very quickly. It's a mashul. Commotion Neemar Hine Hashem Rochev al Ov Kal Ubo Mitzrayim. Matsaloma Mehirus Redes Zos Hamake Bohem. The Make will come very swiftly. And he says, Lo Yitachagam Kei Masha Timotze Biyecheske Levad Bifnei Ashor Ufnei Ha'arie Ufnei Nesher Vikaf Regel Ogol. So those have, don't be mistaken over there by those descriptions. It has the face of an ox, the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, and the foot of a calf. Kiyesh loze kulo pirish achar tishma'eyu. Yeah, Ram explains. I think he explains at least for the faces. He says they're people's faces, right? You ever see that one? He says some people look like animals. Some people look like animals. I'm not sure. I don't remember what he said about the feet. The O, he says, Shehu omnam lo tor ela hachayos. He says, the description of the animals. These intentions will be explained by means of hints sufficient to awaken the attention. As for the motion of flying, it occurs in the text in every passage, and it cannot be represented to oneself without a wing. Oh, this is what he's mentioning before. Accordingly, it was supposed that the angels had wings in order that guidance be given concerning the state of their existence. What does he mean it was supposed? V'yuchsu lehem haknafayim leheshir le'inyin mitzi'usam lo la'ames mahusam. It's only given to as a guidance, right? Concerning the state of existence, is not with a view to obtaining knowledge of the true reality of his existence. Know that everyone who accomplishes a very swift movement is described as flying, as to indicate the swiftness of the movement. And the eagle swoopeth down, for the eagle is swifter in his flight and swoop than any other bird. For this reason is used in the parable. Know also that the two wings are the causes of flying. For this reason, the number of wings seen in the prophetic vision corresponded to that of the causes of motion of moving. However, this is not the subject of this chapter. Okay. Yeah.
Rabbi, just one point.
Yeah.
Is the Rambam kind of describing action at a distance?
At a distance. The swiftness, you mean?
Yeah, meaning it's all mushal to say when an angel acts, it's...
The Kuzari has a long discussion about the soul. And it basically concludes at the end that it's really practically impossible to fully understand such a thing. But we can know it exists from from its function. But to really, for a person, the problem is when we try to think when we feel we know something, it means we feel like it's relatable. It's like most people feel they know something when it fits into a knowledge that they already have. Like in Shir, people are always asking the question, "What's this like? What? It's a very nice idea, but can you tell me another thing that it's like?" Right. Always an annoying question. But why do they do that? They do that because they don't... They need something to be... They need to feel... To feel they know it, people have to feel it's familiar. And to say that there's a... To have knowledge of something that there's no prior, empirical familiarity with is very difficult. But what does it mean to know it? What does it mean to know it?
I mean, this also seems like it's neither empirical nor...
I mean, the Rambam in Yesodei Torah, Beis Hei, for instance, after he describes them as non-physical entities, says, Uma yifridu hatsuro zumizu. That's the problem. Ma yifridu hatsuro zumizu. If they're not gufim, what differentiates them? Lefisha einam shavim b'mitziusam ela kol echad mehem lamata mimaloso shechavero. So what does that mean? He says, because, how do you differentiate them? He says, they're not equal in their existence. Each one is lower than its than the level of its friend. V'hu motzoi mikocho ze lamala mize. And each one exists from the koach of the one that's above it. V'akol nimtzoim mikocho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Why do differences necessitate some physicality? I know there needs to be like some sort of concept that distinguishes between them or whatever, but like, for example, one and four are distinct things, but to the best of my knowledge, one and four aren't physical, but we can still talk about them as being discrete entities, abstractly.
Right, so you have to differentiate them either in their quality, so that's true. You have to differentiate. He's not saying it's not possible. He's saying there, if you had two, it's like, doesn't Bach, Chovos Levovos has something like that, right? Like he says, if you had two ideas of God that were identical, it would simply be one.
Right?
There's no such thing as two ideas that are identical being separate entities. Right.
Yeah, you're saying they have all the same consequences.
Right. If they have all of the, you have to be able to differentiate to say that things are different. You have to differentiate them. If they're physical, then differentiated by their physical characteristics. If it's not physical, then there must be other characteristics that are differentiating them.
Right.
Right. So it's illogical to say I have two ideas of one that are identical, but they exist as two separate ideas. And then they're not two separate ideas. So the Ram over here is just, he's leading you on this is like a beginner's course, and he's saying, look, they're not physical. Okay, that's the first step. Now you might say, so therefore what differentiates them? Oh, non-physical entities have differences in the nature of their existence. So they're differentiated not by, you can have two of the same exact thing, but they're differentiated by substance. Right, like two electrons, exactly the same. But they're different because they occupy different space. But if you're going to say two things of non-physical, then they must be differentiated in their existence. And he's tying it to the cause of their existence. That he's saying he's describing it like a chain of existence. He says, Echad kol echad mehem lamata mima'aloso shochavero. And this doesn't mean a physical placement. V'hu motzoi mikocho ze lamala mize. They exist from the koach of the one that is above it. V'akol nimtzoi mikocho shalakorosh baruch hu v'tuvo. Okay. And everything begins with God. V'zehu sheromaz shlom v'chachmas avomer ki gavoa me'al gavoa shomer. Zesha amarnu lamata mimala. So when we said it's below his maila, eina maalas makom. Okay, he has to reemphasize this. Like a person who sits higher than his friend. Ela kemosha omrim b'shnei chachamim sheechad godol mechavero b'chachma shu lamala mimaalaso shechavero. Kemosha omrim b'ila a cause. She lamala min ha'alul, which is higher than the cause, than the effect.
Why? What's this area of causes? Why not just say that they have different qualities, whatever that
is? So that's what he's saying. He's saying he's apparently tying what level of their quote-unquote chachma or that type of a thing is because of their level of cause. She no yishemos ha'malachim al-shem ma'alosam hu. They're called different names based on their maila. On their level. Chayos HaKodesh, those are the highest ones. Ofanim, Varelim, Chashmolim, Srofim, Umalochim, Ve'elohim, Ubnei Elohim, Kruvim, Ve'ishim. Kol elu asor ha-shemos shenikru b'hem ha-malochim al-shem eser ha-mailo shelohem heim. U-mailo shein la-mailo mimeno, ela mailo sakel baruch hu, baruch shemo, hi mailo satsur shenikroos chayos. Those are the chayos ha-kodesh. Lefikach ne'mar b'nevuah shehein tachas ha-kisei. They are under the kisei. And the tenth one is Ishim. Those are the malachim shemedabrim im ha-neviim. V'nirim lehem b'mar ha-nevuah. V'figach nikru ishim. Shema'alosam krova mimalas das ha-adam. Their level is close to man. So he's saying there is some kind of a malachim, is some kind of a chain of existences that begins with God and goes down to man. And each subsequent existence, which is caused by the prior one, is considered to be of a lower stature in terms of its existence. It's what he calls its ma'ila of its metzius. And the lowest one is the only one that interacts with man.
What is it? What does that mean? That they are the only ones that appear in the world.
The Ishim.
I understand, but so obviously none of them are physical. So when it appears,
but they interact with man. They're the ones that interact with man.
Professor,
I mean, maybe that's the whole question about how does Nevuah work. But if there's a Nevuah like coming from God, and in the Nevuah you see an angel, you see a Malach. So what's he saying? That Malach that you're seeing is like some imagined construction of the Ishim?
He's saying that which caused your imagination was the Malach known as Ishim. Now whatever you imagine, that's different. But that's the one that brought you to the state of Nevuah. Let's just finish one more thing. He says, V'chol atzuros ha'elu chayim u'makirim es ha'borei. So it's not laws of nature. V'yodim oso dea gedola ad lema'od kol tzuro v'tzuro l'fi ma'aloso l'fi lo k'fi gadlo. It's l'fi ma'aloso lo l'fi gadlo. I don't know what he means with that. Physical gadlo? Afilu ma'ila harishona eini yichol lahasig amitas ha'borei kam... I'm sorry. No, they only get it lefi ma'alasa, according to their level, but not really according to his greatness. So they're not really perceiving God. Even the highest ma'ala, eini yichol lahasig amitas ha'borei kimashehi eladaita kitzara lahasig ova maseges v'yoda'as. It does know yeser mimashe maseges v'yoda'as tzura shalamata mimena. Each level knows more than the level below it. V'chein kol mailo mailo ad mailo asiris gam yodas habore dea she'en koch b'nei adam michu bore megolem v'tzura yochol asig v'leidam kemosa. Even the lowest level, malach, knows much more than man, who's composed of physicality, is capable of knowing. But no one knows him the way he knows himself. Okay. And then he comes back to the original beginning of the whole sefer. Kol hanimtzoim chutz min haborei mitzura harishona ad yitush katon sheyehe b'tebor ha'aretz. Every existence, except for God, from the original tzura down to the smallest creature on earth, hakol mikoach amito nimtzu. Everything exists from the power of his truth. Lefi ulefi shehu yodea atzmo umakir godlo v'tifarto v'amito hu yodea hakol ve'ein dover ne'elam imenu. Strange, he has to throw that in over here. Hakadosh Baruch Hu umakir amito v'yodea oso kamo shehi. Ve'eino yodea bedea shehi chutz mimenu. It's interesting how he goes into this whole tangent over here. Once he's describing the malachim's knowledge of God, he has to reiterate that it still is qualitatively different than God's knowledge. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, where are you reading from now?
Perek Beis in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah.
Okay, got it.
Because that's where he discusses Malachim in the Yad.
Okay.